Today's daf is Kiddushin daf Nun Hey. We left off toward the bottom of daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. We were in the middle of a discussion of trying to figure out who the Stam Mishnayos follow with regard to Meiser Sheni, whether Meiser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa or Mamun Hedir, because we thought we have to pass on like Rav Meir that it's Mamun Gavoa because it's a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir. So we started pointing out that there are other Stam Mishnayos that seem to follow Rabbi Yehuda, that Meiser Sheni is Mamun Hedir. So we're going to try to resolve that issue as to which Stam Mishnayos to follow in terms of Meiser Sheni, Mamun Gavoa, or Mamun Hedyot. Then on today's daf, on Nun Hey Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to raise an issue that comes up in a Mishnah in Masechta Shkalim and try to connect an issue about a lost animal near Yerushalayim, where you assume it has to be a korban of some sort, but you're not sure what sort. So what do you do? How do you deal with such an animal? The Gemara is going to try to connect that to our Machlokes, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, about when Hekdish is Meschalel. Is it Mischalel only when it's bemazed, when you bemazed try to be mechalel it, or is it mischalel only when it's shogeg? That was the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to try to connect that to this machlokas about a lost behema. So the Gemara in is going to go on a tangent and discuss that case in Shkalim and how to deal with that lost behema. And there are going to be basically two approaches. One approach is to leave the behema as is and be mechalel it as it's currently found on money, and then use that money for whatever you're going to use it for different karbanos that the animal might be. And the other approach is going to be to wait till it develops a mum, and only then you exchange it for money and bring whatever karbanos with that money need to be brought that the that would cover the potential kedusha of the animal that was found. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is just going to discuss why the suggested karbanos that we have to bring to cover this one animal that we found, why it's sufficient. Why aren't we choshish that it's a whole bunch of other types of karbanos that it might have been? I mean, we're going to say, okay, so it might be an ol, it might be a shlomo. So the Gemara is going to ask, oh yeah, that's it? What about a toda? What about a pesach? So it's going to raise a whole bunch of other possibilities and discuss why it is that we're not concerned about those possibilities. So we left off at Tashma, about 12-15 lines before the end of the page. Tashma, again, we're trying to show that there are other Stam Mishnayos that don't follow Rabbi Meir in terms of Meiser Sheni. Rabbi Meir holds Meiser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa. We had a Stam Mishnah that follows Rabbi Meir, but now we're trying to show that there are Stam Mishnayos that follow Rabbi Yehuda that assume Meiser Sheni is Mamun Hedyot. So Tashma, Hapoda Neter Revai Shalo. If a person is being poda, his neter revai. Neter revai is what grows in on the trees in the fourth year. Mosifal of chamishiso, bein mishalo, bein shenitan lo b'matana. When he's being poda, his neter revai, he has to add a chomesh when he does a pidyon, whether it's his own neter revai or whether it was given to him as a matana. Well, wait a second, given to him as a matana, that implies that neter revai may be given as a matana. Neter revai has the same din as meiser sheni. So if neter revai can be given as a matana, meiser sheni can be given as a matana. So it must be that it's considered mamun bailin. I've got to mention today's shiur is sponsored anonymously lezecha nishmas all of those who were killed in the Shoah. Obviously, the neshamos should all have an aliyah through the zchus of our learning. So says the Gemara. So money ilema Rabbi Meir. If we're going to say that it's Rabbi Meir, mi matzi yoiv lei. Vagamri kodesh kodesh mimeiser. If you're going to say that it's mamun gavoa, how can you give it as a matana? If neter revai is the same thing as meiser sheni, cannot be given as a matana if it's mamun gavoa. Elalav Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, it's a stam mishnah that assumes that neter revai and therefore meiser sheni can be given as a matana. That's obviously assuming that mamun hedyot like Rabbi Yehuda. Says Gemara, no, liolam Rabbi Meir. Really, it's following Rabbi Meir. V'hachol me'askinan kigon di yoiv kishus madar. Over here, we're talking about where he gave the neter revai when it was not yet a developed fruit. It was still at a very early stage in the development. It was right when the bud had fallen off and the fruit was still very, very tiny, just barely recognizable. Udalok Rabbi Yossi damar smadar asam rnei shu pri. And we're assuming against Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a smadar already has the status of a pri. Rabbi Yossi holds a Maseches Arla that even at the stage of smadar it has the status of Arla, that it's aser because it's it's asr midinarla because it's actually called the pri. So we're assuming not that way. We're assuming that a smadar is not yet called the pri. So the neter avai could have been given to the guy before it was really neter avai, because it was before it really developed a shame pri, even if you hold that maaser sheni is mam gavoa. It's not yet maaser sheni, it's not yet a pri. So says Gemara, okay, but we have a third stam mishnah that seems to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Tashma mashach hemenu meiser b'sela v'lo hispik liftosa atshamad b'shtayim. A person was buying meiser sheni, and what he did was he did a kinyan on it. He did a meshicha, and he with an agreement to pay a sela for it, but he had not yet paid for it. So there was no actual change of hands of money. The item changed hands. He did a meshicha, he did a kinyan, but there was no money that changed hands yet. And then before he paid for it, it doubled in value. They doubled in price. The price went up. So what does he have to pay? Does he have to pay the new price, or can he pay the old price? No sin sella, umistakar besella. He only has to give one sella, and he earns another sella. Umaiser sheni shalo, and the maiser sheni is his, meaning he benefits by getting a two sella item for only one sella, because that was the original agreed upon price, and he had already made a kinyan. So that kinyan meshicha made it his already, and it locked him in at that price. Well, wait a second, money. Who could this Mishnah be following? Ilem Rabbi Meir, am I mistaker besella? Venosnes a kesef. If we're assuming like Rav Meir, why should he benefit from the seller? The pasuk says nasan kesef v'kamlo, that hekdish is not nikna b'mashicha. If it actually is mamun kavala, it's actually hekdish. You could be poda hekdish, and in that way it's yotzei l'chulin. But a mashicha on hekdish, that doesn't do anything. So the fact that he did a mashicha should not have locked him in to the one seller price. He didn't give any money yet, so if he didn't give any money yet, nothing happened yet. Elalav Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda that this is not Hegdish, that this is Mamun Hedyot. Oh, if it's Mamun Hedyot, then you understand that a Kinyan Mashiach is going to work and it's going to lock him in at that price. So you see, it's a Stam Mishnah and it follows Rabbi Yehuda. Says Gemara Liolim Rabbi Yehuda, Vahach Chad Stama, Vahach Trey Stami. You're right that it follows Rabbi Yehuda, but we have two Stam Mishnahs that follow Rabbi Meir and one Stam Mishnah that follows Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Stam Mishnah that we quoted that sounds like Rabbi Meir appears in two places in Shas, whereas the Stam Mishnah that follows Rabbi Yehuda is only in one place in Shas. So frankly, Maravi Stama Dafka, Mali Chad Stama, Mali Trey Stami. Well, if a Stam Mishnah is an indication that Rebbe wanted a paskin that way, so why would it make a difference how many times that Mishnah appears in Shas? Rebbe wanted a paskin that way, meaning if he made it a Stam Mishnah, that's how he wanted a paskin. How do you know that he wanted a paskin like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Yehuda? The Shita L'Nodel Mi and the Chidushe Ma'ari Be Rav, right? That even though there are a lot of places in Shas where it sounds like we give favor to two Stam Mishnahs over one Stam Mishnah, but we were talking about it's not a second Stam Mishnah, it's the same Stam Mishnah mentioned twice. That's what the Gemara is really asking, meaning if Rebbe had said in different contexts, in different statements, in different Mishnahs, if he would have written Stam Mishnahs that follow Rabbi Meir more often than he does Rabbi Yehuda, maybe that would be an indication of something. But if it's the same Stam Mishnah that's just written in a couple of places, that's not an indication of anything. That's what the Gemara is asking. The Ritva writes that had it not been for the reason that it says that Rav Meir is that the Gemara is about to answer, that it's a Masech Sedios, that the Stam Mishnah of Rav Meir is a Masech Sedios, and the reason that Pesul holds like him, we would not have passed like Rav Meir just because there's two Stam Mishnahs like him, because there's no difference between one Stam and two Stamos. So that's what the Gemara says. Gemara's answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Halach Rav Meir. You know why we pass like Rav Meir? Because it says in the Mishnah in Edios, like Rabbi Meir. So the Ritva writes that the Gemara could have said that Allah is like Rabbi Meir because Beis Hillel holds like him. But we say Allah Kamosa because B'chirasa is because of the Mishnah in Edios, because that's a stronger reason. It's a stronger reason to say that it's a Mishnah in Edios than to say that Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Meir. Now, what is it? Why is that a strong reason at all? Who cares what Masechta the Mishnah is in? So it's in a Masechta called Edios. So why does that make it more of a reason to pass on like Rav Meir? three basic approaches that you find in Rishonim and Achronim. Rashi writes that Masech Sedios is called the Muvcheres, Bichirasa, because all the Tanaim were saying Eidos of Haraos, of the Gedolim, and the Halachas like all of the Halachas of Masech Sedios. Meaning, what happened to in Masech Sedios? What's Masech Sedios about? If you ever open up Masech Sedios, it's not about anything. It's a collection of different Halachas that were recorded relating to all sorts of different topics. It's, you know, they call Maseches Ksuvus a Shas Katan. Ksuvus isn't a Shas Katan. Edios is a Shas Katan. It really has topics from all over the place, because the Chacham got together one day in Keren B'Yavne, and they decided that anyone that they didn't want Torah to be forgotten, and anyone who had an Edos of what was said and what was accepted la halacha by earlier gedolim should get up and say it. So they got up and this one said about Taros, and this one said about Nezikin, and this one said about Kachim. So all of those things we're going to paskin like. There's a much stronger chance we're going to paskin like, because those are the critical pieces of Torah that they were trying to preserve. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos in the second parak of Edios explains all the things that are mentioned in the Masech were all Bobiyom, all mentioned on the same day, and Bitzibur. And it was the day that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was Moshe of Yeshiva. The fact that it was accepted Bitzibur, and it wasn't just Stam, a collection of different things that were learned in different Bate Medrash, but these were things that were accepted by an entire Tzibur where they gathered everyone together, that's what gives it extra credence. The Tiferes Yisrael in the Sakdamat of Masech Sedios says that Edios is Miloshon Idis. That's the meaning of Bechirasa. From Bechirasa is the Muvchar. That it's edios could mean two things. It could be eduyos, that multiple hagadas edus, that everyone was being made what they heard, or it's a milashon idis, is an introduction to Baba Kama we're going to be hitting soon, where we have idis, beinis, iburis. Idis is the best, that these are the best teachings. So that's why it's we're going to paskin like whatever it says in Masech Sedios. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Tapanun Heyamad Aleph. We had this machlokes from Meir Reb Yehuda, whether hektish is mischalel b'mezid or is hektish mischalel b'shogeg. Right, Meir held that b'mezid it's mischalel b'shogeg, ein mischalel. And Reb Yehuda held the opposite. So we're going to connect that machlokes to an entirely different Mishnah on an entirely different topic. Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah in Masech Hashkalim that deals with the following. Behema shenimtzeis miYerushalayim leMigdal Eder uKmidasa leKal Ruach. You find an animal somewhere between Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder, or that same distance from Yerushalayim on any other side, in any other direction from Yerushalayim. So in basic close proximity to Yerushalayim, you find a behema. So you have to be choshesh that this behema is not just tam a behema, but it's a korban. So we have to deal with its kedusha accordingly. So what do we assume about an animal that you find? Zicharim olos, nekevos zivchei shlamim. Well, if it's a male animal, you assume it's a korban ola, and if it's a female animal, you assume that it's zivchei shlamim, that it's a korban shlamim. The Rashba writes in the name of the Balei Atosos that you cannot prove from our sugya that you don't need das bailim at the time of the akrava of the korban, because one might say, well, oh, if you're able to bring it as anything, then obviously you don't need das bailim, because you're not the bailim, you just found the animal, so apparently you're allowed to bring the animal without das bailim. Says the Rashba, the name of the Balei Atosos, not so. You assume that there is das bailim, because the bailim knows he lost his animal, so he knows this halacha as well, so he's thinking, whoever finds it is going to bring it as my korban, and that's enough of a das bailim. It's not that it's being brought without das bailim, that the bailim has no idea that it's being brought. He figures whoever finds it is going to bring it. Tosos over there in Maseches Nedarim and Tosa Rush raised the question, but wait a second, forget about the Das Bailim. A Korban Olah and a Korban Shlamim requires Smicha, and Smicha can only be done by the Bailim. The Gemara Menachos has a drasha, Yado Velo Yad Shlucha. It's Menachos Tav Sadi Gimel. So don't you need Smicha Sabailim? Even if you have Das Bailim, you're not going to have Smicha Sabailim. So they suggest, yeah, but Smicha's not Ma'akev. Ideally, you'd love to have Smicha's Bailim, but since Smicha's not Ma'akev, you could still bring the carbon. The carbon would still be kosher, better than not bringing the carbon at all. And then a third point, the Makna raises a question that the Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra and Daf Chav Gimel discusses. So sugya of rov vikarov. What if you find a bird and you're not sure where the bird came from? Did it come from the world, from anywhere else, or did it come from the closest nest? Do we follow the rov or do we follow the karov? So the Gemara over there says that even though there's a svara to say karov, karov is one of the ways of indicating and clarifying how something came to be or how something came to be where it is, but rov beats karov. So frek the makna, why don't we say that when you find a behemoth outside of Yerushalayim, you should follow the rov, that rov behemoths of the world are not karov. Enochinami. Near Yerushalayim, most of the animals that are hanging around near Yerushalayim are karbanos. But rover the world, most of the animals are not karbanos. So why do we automatically make an assumption that this animal is a karban? So he suggests that since it was normal to let the behemos, it was normal for behemos to graze in the outskirts of Yerushalayim, that's called kavua. That's called the makom kavua of the behema. Sayin achinami, normally we would follow the rov, but kol kavua is kemechz al mechzadami. Whenever something is kavua b'makomo, it takes away the advantage of rov. So mainly you're left with only karov, and karov would tell you that it's a karban. And he says that if that's the case, if that's really pshat over here, when Rashi says in Dibra Maskel Hachi that the reason we're choshish that it's an ol or a shlamim is because rov behemos ayotzes mirshlaim are zvachim, most of the animals that are ayotzes mir Shalayim are karbanos, he doesn't really mean rov, meaning it's lav dafka that it's a rov. It doesn't have to be a rov, even if it's not a rov, even if it's a miyut, it would still be considered mechzal mechza, and we would still treat it as a karban. It just means that it's something, what Rashi means when he says rov is that it's something they have to be choshish for, that this animal might be a karban. Okay, so if it's karban, what do we do with it? So the Mishnah said, if it's a male animal, assume it's karban ola. If it's a female animal, assume it's karban shlamim. Frakta Gemara el zecharim olos hudavu zivchei shlamim lo havu. A male animal can't possibly be a shlamim. Is that true that a male animal can only be an ola and cannot be a shlamim? That's not true. Karban shlamim could be zachar onakeva. A karban ola in a chinami can only be zachar, but a karban shlamim can be a zachar or a nekeva. So if it's a male, why aren't we choshish that it's a shlamim as well? We're not talking about using the animal itself. We're talking about exchanging the animal for money and which karbanos you're going to bring with that money. So you're going to use that money to bring other karbanos. That's what we're talking about. So once you're bringing a karban shlamim with the money, so fine. So you're bringing a karban shlamim. So that's good. So even if the we're talking about where you're going to. Right, we're talking about where you're going to use the money. We're talking about where you're going to use the money for the karbanos. Meaning, someone wants to be someone who's coming to be mischayev to give to Hekdish the money in order to be motzi the animals to chulin. The person who founds it is mekablan himself to take care of all sfeikos that this found animal might have, and to be motzi l'chulin by bringing money to be poda the kedusha the behema on that money. And then with that money, he's going to bring other karbanos. So the din is that he has to bring from that money all of the karbanos that this animal might have been. Vahachi kamar, and this is what the Mishnah is saying, that if he finds a male animal, misafek, he's chayiv to bring with that animal even a karbanola. Even a karbanola. Obviously, he's going to have to bring karban shlamin as well. Chayshinan shema olos. You have to be choshish. In addition to the fact that you have to bring with that money karban shlamin, you also have to bring a karbanola. Rabbi Meir, but you see that this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir that says Hektish is Mischalel B'mezid, because that's what you're doing. You're not bringing this animal as a karbanola. In a chinami, that wouldn't make sense to bring the male animal as a karbanola, because it might be a shlamim. What you're doing is you're exchanging it for money. You're being Mechalel the animal on money, and you're using that money to bring not only a karban shlamim, but also a karbanola. Well, well, how can you be mechalal the animal on money? You're obviously, you know what you're doing, so this is being done b'mezid. So you see, we're assuming like Rabbi Meir, that b'mezid, it's mechalal, that it works to be mechalal the kedusha of an animal on money b'mezid. So frak the Gemara, but does it really? U'kedushas haguf mi mechalal? Can you be mechalal kedushas haguf? Meaning it's one thing if you have something that's hegdish, that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash in general, but something that is actually kedushas haguf, that's supposed to be brought in the Mizbeach, is it possible to be mechalal that? Vatnan, don't we have a Mishnah that tells us in Maseches Me'ilah that ein moel achar moel b'mukdashin el b'behema b'kli sharis b'vad? What if you commit Me'ilah once? You're a moel b'hegdish. Do we now say that whatever you committed Me'ilah on is now chulin, so you can't violate Me'ilah on it anymore because it's no longer hegdish, now it's chulin? Or do we assume that no, it remains kodesh, and therefore you can continually, one has the potential to violate Me'ilah over and over and over again with that same item? So the Mishnah says that generally speaking, when you violate Me'ilah, it means that the item is no longer hegdish, and therefore you can only violate Me'ilah once, because now it's chulin, now it's yotzei l'chulin. But when you're dealing with a behema, meaning that as kedushas haguf, an animal is supposed to be a korban, and you're dealing with kli shareis, that's not going to lose its kedusha status. So there is no chilul of it. You can't be mechalal it at all. So how can Rabbi Meir say over here that how can this mission be following Rabbi Meir that you're going to find this animal that has kedushas haguf, you're going to exchange it for money, and now all of a sudden the animal is fine, the animal is chulin? No, kedushas haguf you can't do that with. You can't take away its kedusha. Only by behemah and by klei shareis, there's moel achar moel. It still retains its kedusha. Ketzad, for example, hayirochev al gabi behemah. You ride on the animal that has kedusha saguf, and then bachaveru v'rachav. Another guy comes and rides on that same animal. Bachaveru v'rachav. Kulamalu. They all violate Me'ilah. Why after the first guy wasn't it already chulin? Because something that has kedusha saguf does not become chulin just because someone misappropriated it. Hayashosa b'kosh al zav, or you take a kli shares and you drink out of it. Stam, you have a beer with it. B'chaveru v'shasaba. Another guy comes and drinks out of it. Chaveru v'shasa. Another guy comes and drinks out of it. Kulamalu. They're all in violation of Me'ilah. So don't you see that that when it comes to a behemah and a klei shareis, it's not going to become chulin? So how can you say that according to Rabbi Meir, you find this animal, you're going to bemaze it, exchange it for money, and then it will become chulin, and then you use the money to bring olos, shlamim, whatever, to cover with the possibilities of what this animal might be? So says Gemara, he, Rabbi Yehudi, ha, Rabbi Meir, that it's very simple. The Mishnah that says that a behemah that's roi for a carbon and a kli sharis cannot become chulin, that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mishnah says that ein mila achar mila by other hegdish that's kadosh kedushas damim because it was yotzi lechulin but in the first meila, and even though you were mol b'shogeg, so that's obviously going like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's b'shogeg that something is yotzi lechulin. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, animals that have kedusha saguf, kedusha lemizbeach, are not mischalal with the first meila. But ha, the Mishnah Shkalim, it talks about the animal that you found that says, according to the way Rav Oshi understood the Mishnah, that you could be mechalal the behema on even though it doesn't have a mum on money. That's Rav Meir who holds that hegdish that you mechalal b'mezid is mischalal. So says Gemara, well, that's not very satisfying because mid Rabbi Yehuda nishma l'Rabbi Meir. From the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, we should be able to understand the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Meaning, what did Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue about? They argued about whether when you're mechalal behema, whether it's when you're mechalal hegdish rather, whether the chilul works only when you do it b'shogeg or only when you do it b'mezid. But they don't argue about what type of hegdish can be mischalal. They argue about if you're dealing with a type of hegdish that can be mischalal, is it mischalal b'shogeg or is it mischalal b'mezid? So lav amar Rabbi Yehuda hegdish b'shogeg mischalal u'kedushas haguf lo mischalal. So if Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, hegdish can be mischalal only b'shogeg, But even when you're going to be mischalel, it doesn't work on kedushas haguf. Things that have kedushas haguf can never be mischalel. So Reb Meir disagrees in terms of those things that can be mischalel, how to be mechalel them. But he doesn't argue in terms of what has the potential to be mischalel. If Rabbi Yehuda holds something that has kedushas haguf cannot be mischalel, guess what? Reb Meir also holds something that has kedushas haguf cannot be mischalel. The Reb Meir Nami Afakav the Hekdesh B'mezin mischalel. Kedush Saguf lo mischala. Yeah, Reb Meir might hold that Bemez is mischala, but Reb Meir is going to say Kedush Saguf cannot be mischala. He too will agree that Kedush Saguf will not be mischalal. So Mela, we still have a kasha. The Mishnah says that even after you're moel in a karban and you're mechalalin, the karban does not become chulin, even if you do it b'mezid. So it's against Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia says you find this behema, don't worry, just exchange it for money, and now the behema is chulin, now the behema is fine, and you use this money to bring karbanos. No, that shouldn't work, not with a behema that has kedush saguf. So says the Gemara, the difference is, Hasam, in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda says that only if it has Kedushas Damim, Lebedek Abayis, that it's Mischalel, but something that has Kedushas Aguf is not Mischalel, that's Loka Mechavin Lapakin L'chulin. That's when you're not trying to make it Chulin. You did it Bishogeg. That's where Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Mischalel. But Hachak Mechavin Lapakin L'chulin. But over here, where you're being Mechalel B'mezid, where a Meir holds being Mischalel, the reason is because you're trying and you're purposely turning into chulin, so mele that's going to work even on something that has kedushas haguf. Meaning, the reason Rabbi Yehuda said something that has kedushas haguf cannot be mischalel is because Rabbi Yehuda holds the only way something can be mischalel is b'shogeg. So if the only way something can be mischalel is b'shogeg, well, something that has kedushas haguf is not going to be mischalel b'shogeg. But Rabbi Meir holds that something is mischalel b'mezid will say that something that has kedushas haguf can be mischalel. So that's the difference between the two. So frak the Gemara, but wait a second. Emor d'shamet leil Rabbi Meir b'kach. Where does Rav Meir say that you can be mechalel something b'mezid? That's by stam hegdish, which is kachay bedek abayis, or by kachay kachim, meaning what do those things have in common? Stam hegdish, which is kachay bedek abayis, and kachay kachim are purely kodesh. The bialim doesn't get any chelik in it. There's no chelik the kohanim. There's no or lehedyot. There's no part of it that gets eaten by the lehedyot by the kohanim do get a chelik, but there's no chelik lebailim, but kachim kalim. Do we ever find that a mayor holds that you could be mechal that also, that you could be mechal the kedusha of kachim kalim like a carbon shlamim? So Rabbi Yaakov Shmei Kalachomer. So Rabbi Yaakov says, well, of course then, kachim kalim lakolshkein. If you could be mechal kachim kachim, which has this higher level of kedusha that the bailim doesn't get a chelik, then kachim kalim, where the bailim does get a chelik, of course you could be mechal it. Itmar Nami Amar Bchem Bar Akiva Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Amar Rabbi Meir Hektish B'Mezin Mischal B'Shogeg En Mischalal, that Rabbi Meir held Hektish could be Mischal only B'Mezin not B'Shogeg. Echad kachay kachim ve'echad kachim kalim, and that's true both of kachay kachim and kachim kalim. Kal v'chomer kachay kachim mischalim, kachim kalim lo kol shkein, and it's a simple kal v'chomer that if kachay kachim can be mischalal, then of course kachay kalim can be mischalal. So all of that is Rabbi Oshia's understanding of the Mishnah. What do we do when we find this behema? So if it's a zachar, we bring an ola. If it's a nekeva, we bring a shlamim. And what that really means, Rav Oshia says, is we take the animal and we're mechalel it on money. And then we use that money, if it's a nekeva, for a shlamim, and if it's a zachar, for both an ola and a karban shlamim. But what that involves, according to Rav Oshia, is we're taking a behema that's kodesh, kedusha saguf, does not have a mum, is a perfectly good karban, and we're being mechalel it on money on purpose. So, frak the Gemara, toy bar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was not so satisfied with this. V'chi omrim lo adam amod v'chato b'shvil shetizke. Would you tell a person to get up and do an avera to be mechalel a behema b'mezid when the behema is not even a balmum? That's an iser. You're not allowed to do that. The pasuk in the Torah says, "Vayikra perach of zayin v'im kol behema t'meir shalu yakriv menu karban l'Hashem v'im gol yigalena." So it says that if it has a mum, you could be poda and be mechalel. But if it doesn't have a mum, the Torah never allows us to be podem b'mechalel. So b'shvil shetiska, just to be misakein, what korban this animal might be, to make sure that you're bringing it for the right korban, it can't be, says Rabbi Yochanan, that we would allow doing such a thing. Now the Mesoras Hashas raises the question: why does Rabbi Yochanan ask that it's asal adam to violate an isser in order to be mezakeh the guy whose carbon it is, to save him from the avera of not bringing his carbon, the Gemara Neiv in Daflam Beis says that a chaver is allowed to violate a smaller iser in order that an amaretz not violate a very great iser. Meaning, when the Gemara has an expression, v'chiyomim lo la'adam chatei, kedei sheizke chavircha, do you tell a person to sin so that someone else will benefit? The Gemara Neiv says, yeah, if the benefit is greater than the sin, then yes, you tell a person to sin in order that somebody else should be able to benefit from it. So the Masorah Shas raises the kasha. What's Rabbi Yochanan so bothered by? So the truth is that kasha is already asked by Tosfos and Masechta Shabbos and Dav Dalet, because over there in Masechta Shabbos the Gemara says rhetorically, would you tell a person to sin? And over there it's talking about Rediyas Hapas, where someone put dough on an oven before on Shabbos. So if you leave the dough there, it's going to bake, and the person who put it there is going to be in violation of a melacha d'oraisa of afia on Shabbos. But if you take it down, it won't bake. You'll save that person the melacha d'oraisa. Problem is, there's nisad rabbanu called rediyas hapas. You're not allowed to take bread off of an oven, the old style ovens where they would wrap the bread around the cylinder of the oven. Since it was a whole procedure to remove the bread, you weren't allowed to take the bread off of the oven. It was nisad rabbanan. So am I allowed to do the nisad rabbanan in order to stop him from nisad raisa? The Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to. So Tosfos already asked the kasha, how come sometimes we say you're allowed to do an nisad in order to stop someone else from doing a bigger nisad, and sometimes we say you're not allowed to? So Tosfos has two approaches. Tosfos suggests that in Erevin, where we say you are allowed to, that's where the chaver caused the amaretz to violate the nisad. That's talking about where the chaver, the case over there was, I have produce that I was not misaking the Trumas and Maestros on the produce, and I gave it to an Amaretz. I allowed an Amaretz to have it. So I know he's not going to be misaking the Trumas and Maestros. He's going to assume, whatever he assumes, he's not going to be misaking it. So he's going to be eating Tevel. But there is a lesser Isser of being misaking produce, of being mafresh Trumas and Maestros, Shalom and Amukaf, that I'm going to take Trumas and Maestros from stuff here to cover stuff that's far away. So we say, even though the Amaretz now has it in a different city, in a different place, you could be mafresh Trumas and Maestros here to cover that stuff, because that's a smaller avera that saves him from violating an Isser Tevel. Yeah, why? Because it's my fault that he's violating the Isser Tevel. I'm the one that gave him that produce. That's when I'm allowed to violate the smaller Isser in order to save him from the bigger Isser. When it was my fault, that's one approach that Tosfos says. But if it wasn't my fault, this guy decided to put dough in the oven on Shabbos, I didn't tell him to do that, I didn't ask him to do that, and he decided he just wants to do that, then I'm not going to violate a smaller Isser in order to save him from the greater Isser. The other approach Tosfos has in the name of the Riva is that we tell a person not to violate an Isser Kal when the person in order to save another person from an Isser Chamer, when the person who's going to be in violation of the Isser Chamer is completely Poshea. I don't have any responsibility to save him when it's totally his fault. He decided to put bread in the oven. I have no responsibility to save him when he was completely Poshea. Nothing to do whether it was my fault he did it or not. We look at him. We look at whether he deserves saving or not. So if he was totally Poshea, then he doesn't deserve me to go out of my way to do an Aveira in order to save him from an Isser that he was all too happy to do. But if he wasn't Poshea, it wasn't really his fault. He honestly thought that he's taking produce from a Chaver, that it's going to be Mesukin already, that it's not going to have Trumas and Maestros problems, so that's not his Pshia. So if it's not his fault, then I should try to save him. Those are the two basic approaches. Rav Asher Weiss has a fascinating tshuva about this. He analyzes this in the context of discussing if a Hatzalah guy responds to a call on Shabbos, and when he gets to the place where the call came, he sees that there's no real need for more people. But he knows that five people are jumping in their cars right now to all respond to this call. Should he get on the radio and tell everyone to stand down so that they don't drive their cars on Shabbos? Everyone's going to be driving their cars on Shabbos. It's going to be melacha d'oraisa to drive their car on Shabbos. To get on the radio is only an Isser d'Rabbanan. So is it, do we say, but it's them doing the Isser, it's me doing the radio. So is it better to chatei kidei sheizke chavircha? So he discusses, well, certainly they're not poshea, so they deserve saving, but on the other hand, I didn't make them get in their car. So if I'm only supposed to chatei when I'm the one that caused them to do the Isser, it's totally in these two deos in Tosfos. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a totally different approach. He says they're not doing an avera at all. They're doing a mitzvah. They think it's pikuach nefesh. They're doing a mitzvah. It's not an avera at all. Very questionable to once you know. It's very hard to say that way. But okay. But anyway, so it says the Gemara Vayter. So now Rabbi Yochanan's not satisfied with Rabbi Oshia's response. He doesn't like it. How could Rabbi Oshia say that you're just going to be mechal behima that's kadosh and doesn't even have a mum? Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan says I have a better solution. Mamtin la'atche tumam. Wait till it develops a mum and then a ma'isel shtei behemos amasna. Then bring two animals and make a tanai. Meaning then you could be mechal it on the two animals with a tanai. If it's a carbon ola, it should be mechal on this animal as a carbon ola. And if it's a shlamim, then it will be on this animal as a shlamim. Amar mar zucharim ola. So now we had said that if it's a male, it's a carbon ola. You have to be choshesh, it's a carbon ola. So frakta gemara, is that it? If it's a male, it can only be an ola. Is there no other carbon that can be brought with a male animal? Dilma todihi. Maybe it's a carbon toda. So says gemara, you're right. Demaisi nami toda. You'll bring a carbon toda as well. All the rishonim raise the kasha, the Ramban, the Rashba. They all ask if you have to bring a third animal because you're choshesh that maybe it's a carbon toda. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? Meaning the Mishnah mentioned the shlamim, it mentioned the ola. So why doesn't it say the carbon toda as well? So they say, yeah, the toda sometimes is referred to as a shlamim. So when it says shlamim, the toda is included in the general category of shlamim. But frankly, Gemara, okay, so you're going to bring a toda, but v'habaya lechem, a carbon toda is not just brought on its own. Carbon toda needs lachme toda. There are 40 loaves of bread that come with carbon toda. So says, well, okay, the ma'isi nami lechem. So you bring the lechem as well. Now the Rishonim also ask, all the Rishonim, Tosos, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, all the Rishonim ask, why do you have to bring a third animal as a carbon toda? You could just make a tanai on the behemoth that you're bringing as a shlamim, that if it's not a shlamim, let it be a toda. If you're worried about the matan dam of the karbanos on the mizbech, that shouldn't be a problem, because both of these karbanos require the same matan dam on the mizbech. They both require shtayim shein arba. And don't worry about the fact that the zman of the achila of a toda is different than the zman of the achila of a shlamim, that a shlamim is 2 days and one night, and the toda is only 1 day and one night, because you don't have to you're therefore going to be minimizing the amount of time that it could be eaten, because the Gemara is going to talk about the possibility of a carbon Pesach shelo bezmano being brought as a shlamim. Now Pesach is only eaten for yom v'layla; it's even eaten for a very short amount of time. Shlamim is shnei yamim v'layla. So apparently we're not worried about minimizing the zman that it could be eaten. So all the Rishonim say, and therefore we're bothered. Why don't you just use the same animal you bring as a shlamim, make a tanai that it might be a toda as well? So they suggest that since a carbon toda requires lachme toda, and you can't bring the lachme toda b'toras nedava, you need a designated animal that's going to be a carbon toda. It can't be maybe this animal is a toda, maybe it's a shlamim, and then you can bring 40 loaves of bread with it. Because if it's a shlamim, then what's the lachme? You can't bring the lachem on its own as its own nedava. You can't just bring 40 loaves of bread as a nedava on its own. It has to connect to an animal that's definitely a carbon toda. Okay, so says Gemara, okay, so you'll bring a carbon toda as well. Bidilma asham hu, maybe it's carbon asham. And says Gemara, asham ben shtei shanim, vishtakach ben shana. Now we're talking about you found a 1-year-old animal, and asham is only brought as a 2-year-old animal. Bidilma asham etzaru, asham nazir. Ashim Nazir hu, but maybe it's an Ashim Etzor or an Ashim Nazir, which are 1-year-old animals. So don't you have to be choshish for that? Says Mar Lo Shchichi. Nah, you don't have to be choshish for that, because that's not very common at all. V'dilma Pesach hu, maybe it's a carbon Pesach, and if it's carbon Pesach, you should have to bring another animal for it to be choshish for the possibility of Pesach. Says Gemara, well, two things. Pesach bizmano mizr zihiri bay. If it's bizmano, if it's during this man right before Pesach, you don't have to worry that it's carbon Pesach, because people are very careful about their carbon Pesach. So they're not going to lose their carbon Pesach, since people are so careful about the carbon Pesach. So you don't have to worry that it's carbon Pesach. V'shalob bezmano, when it's shalob bezmano, so it might actually be a carbon Pesach, then shlamimu, then it's a carbon shlamim, the carbon Pesach turns into a carbon shlamim, and we already are bringing a carbon shlamim, so that's totally fine. The Shittul and the Misa, why doesn't Gemara just answer that you should just wait till after Pesach? Instead of saying Mizr Zihiri Bey, that if it's Pesach bezmano, people are careful, so probably it's not a carbon Pesach if you found it before the Zman, just say, okay, even if it is, just wait till after the Zman, and then you'll take care of this, and you'll bring it as a Karban Shlamim. So he says, yeah, the Gemara could have given that answer, but it thinks Mizr Zihiri Bey is a better answer, that it's not a Karban Pesach. You don't have to be Choshesh that it's Karban Pesach, that there's simply nothing to worry about. It happens to be the Gemara Pesachim Daf Tzadi Ches tells the story of a person who lost his Karban Pesach, and what happened when they lost Karban Pesach, so it seems to fly in the face of this Chazaka, the Mizr Zihiri Bey, that people are so careful. So the Ritva writes, no, people are very careful. That doesn't mean you're never going to lose it. It means that when you lose it, you're going to be looking for it, and therefore if someone finds it and announces, I found a Karban Pesach, you'll immediately connect with him. It's not going to be an unidentified Karban Pesach that remains unidentified. That's what it means, Mr. Zihiri Bey. Says Gemara, but Vidilma Bechorah Meiser, and maybe it's a Bechorah Meiser. Well, if it is a Bechorah Meiser, so what does that mean? L'mechlinu b'mumman, that if it develops a mum, you're allowed to eat it? Well, hachinam b'mum mesachli. It's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting to do. Wait till it develops a mum, and then you'll eat it. So Amar Mar Nekevah Zivchei Shlam, we said if it's in a cave, you bring Karban Shlam, Dumla Todah, but maybe it's a Todah, Demaisi Todah, so bring a Todah as well. Vabin and Lechem, don't you need the Lachem Todah, Demaisi Nami Lechem, so bring that. Vidilma Chatas, maybe it's Karban Chatas, Chatas Pashnas, Vishtach Bashtei Shanim. No, Chatas is a 1-year-old, you found a 2-year-old animal. Vidilma Chatas Avra Shnasa, maybe it's a Chatas that's already Avra Shnasa, so Lo Shchiach, that's not very common. Ishtach Pashnasa Mai, and what if you take a find a 1-year-old? So Tanya Chanani ben Chachinoy Yomer Eiz Bas Shnasa Lechatas. You could bring as a carbon chatas a 1-year-old. Lechatas al kadaitach. What is that true? Elam Rabai Kichatas. Konsul Chipa Vimesameela. It means you treat it like a chatas, where you lock it up and until it dies on its own. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanya Rabban tomorrow.